Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Yesterday the Taraweeh Salah, the first juz was recited as well as the first quarter of the second para. Before commencing before a person commences with tilawat, he begins with ta'awud and tasmiyah. When it comes to the ta'awud, it is not part of the Quran, but rather it is recited because of a command which is in Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. When it comes to the ta'awud, it is masnoon to be read, and it is only masnoon on two occasions. One is before the recitation of the Quran Sharif, and the second instance when it is sunnah to be read is وَإِمَّا يَمْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. That when a person is attacked by shaitan, he is tempted to do wrong actions, or he is having wrong thoughts, then there also it is sunnah for a person to read the ta'awud, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. The Surah Fatiha, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there is no surah that has been revealed like Surah Fatiha, neither in the Tawrat, neither in the Zabur, neither in the Injil, nor is there any other surah in the Quran like Surah Fatiha. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that la salata illa bi fatihatil kitab, that a person's namaz will not be accepted except by a person reading a Surah Fatiha. There are many names that are given to Surah Fatiha. One name is, it is the Surah Shifa. It is a dua by which a person can gain shifa and cure. It is also called the Surah Dua, that is by reading the Surah Fatiha, a person learns how to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And similarly, it is also called Surah Munajat. It is also called Ta'limul Mas'ala. Because in the beginning, it starts off with the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter, a person goes and he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The surah is also called Suratul Hamd. And that is because it begins with the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The surah is also called Suratul Kanz. That means treasure. And the reason being is because it came beneath from a special treasure from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another name for the surah is Kafiyah and Wafiyah. In other words, it is that surah which suffices one for all the goodness of the world and the hereafter. What is the background of the surah? After Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam received the initial verses of Surah Iqra, and Nabi alayhi salam was very terrified. He went to Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha, and Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha consoled him. So she advised Nabi alayhi salam that why don't you go to my cousin Waraqa? He knows a lot about the heavenly scriptures. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he took Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu along, and he went to Waraqa. And he asked Waraqa, asked him that, what's the matter, what's happening? So he says that whenever I'm walking, I always hear somebody calling me from behind, Ya Muhammad, Ya Muhammad. But as soon as I look behind, I see there's no one there. So Waraqa advised Nabi alayhi salam and said, the next time when you hear that sound, when you hear that voice, stop for a while, don't run away, and listen to what this person has to say. So the next time when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was once walking, and Nabi alayhi salam heard this call again, Ya Muhammad. So Nabi alayhi salam never ran away, he stood. And at that time, to Jibreel alayhi salam, and Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, Ya Muhammad, and thereafter he read the entire Surah Fatiha. Surah Fatiha is a Makki surah. Some ulama say that just to show the greatness of the surah, it was revealed twice. Once in Makkah Mukarramah, and once in Madinah Munawwarah. According to another narration, for every other verse of Quran Sharif, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam had to come down and he revealed it to Nabi alayhi salam. But this surah was such that once Jibreel alayhi salam was sitting along with Nabi alayhi salam, and all of a sudden they heard a crash, they heard a very, very huge sound. Nabi alayhi salam asked that, you know, what is this sound? So Jibreel alayhi salam replied and said that today a door has opened which has not opened before, and an angel has come which has not descended before. And what he has brought along Surah Fatiha and the last verses of Surah Baqarah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off Surah Fatiha by saying, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. That's why Alhamd, the Alif Lam, it entails that every kind of praise, whether it be of any beauty, any excellence that is found in the entire world, whether it's any good quality that is found within a person, whether it is the scenery and any type of goodness, all goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if it wasn't for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then all this goodness would not be existing. Ulama say that Alhamdulillah, this is a da'wah, this is a claim. And thereafter the next part, Rabbil Alameen, this is the dalil for the claim. That why does all praise belongs only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rabb. And what is Rabb? Rabb is that being that after bringing any of his makhluk into existence, he takes it from stage to stage until he brings it to perfection. And as that makhluk is going from stage to stage, it is at every stage it requires the body, requires different things, it requires different nutrients. And thereafter, and the one who is there to give whatever is needed at the exact time is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala is not only the Rabb of humans, but as Allah ta'ala says, Rabbil Alameen. When it comes to Alameen, what it means, some ulama, some say that this entire world, from the left, to from the east to the west, top and bottom, the entire thing is one alam. And how many other alams Allah ta'ala has, that is only in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some have explained it such that insan, every species is a different alam. So insan is one alam, jinn is another alam, similarly the alam of the ocean, etc. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, second verse, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Imam Razi rahmatullahi alayhi says, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has more than, Allah ta'ala has 1001 names. The 99 names is only according to that one riwayat. But if you take all the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after looking in the Quran and Hadith, it comes to all 1001 names. But from all the names, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the names of mercy. And Allah Ta'ala begins introducing Himself with mercy, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Both these words come from rahmat, come from mercy. But what is the difference between the both? Ar-Rahman, it is extensive. It includes every person, every human being. It is mentioned that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created mercy, He divided it into 100 portions. And one portion Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent it to dunya. And it is because of this one portion that a mother shows love to the young, whether it's in the animal kingdom, whether it's human. And the remaining 99 portions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reserved it in the hereafter for the believers. So that for Ar-Rahman, it is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like how the name Allah is exclusive for Allah, the name Rahman is also exclusive for Allah. That is why, if a person's name is Abdul Rahman, to call a person, it's cut off the Abd and you just say Rahman, it is impermissible. As for the word Rahim, it has the quality of intensive. And this will be manifest in the hereafter, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show this sifat of Ar-Rahim. And when it comes to Ar-Rahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also used it for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mu'minin ra'uf al-Rahim. Thereafter, Allah ta'ala says, Maliki yawm al-deen. Hazrat Hakim Muhammad Afzal Sahib rahmatullah alayhi says, he says, on the day of Qiyamah, Maliki yawm al-deen means the owner of the day of judgment. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not say Qazi yawm al-deen? Because normally a Qazi, a judge, he has some restriction. He's bound to some restriction. Sometimes he likes the person, or sometimes he knows that this person is right. But because of the proof he has before him, he is forced to pass the decision in the opposite. But now, when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is the sole owner on the day of Qiyamah. So when Allah ta'ala is the sole owner on the day of Qiyamah, a person, his a'mal, his good deeds, everything is showing that this person is a Jahannami. But Allah is that Malik, that even if a person is Jahannami, Allah has the power to change all his bad deeds into good deeds and put him into Jannah. Similarly, a person may be designed for Jannah, but Allah is that Malik, that owner, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without any reason, can put him into Jahannam. Then, why did Allah ta'ala only mention Malik Yawm al-Deen, the owner of the day of Qiyamah? Whereas we all know Allah ta'ala is the Malik of dunya also. So ulama mentioned that in dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although he is the real owner, but he has kept a majaz, he has kept an outer milki of ownership for people. But when it comes to the akhirat, zahiran and batinan, Allah ta'ala will have full ownership. To such an extent that a person, kama bada'na awwala khalqin nu'idu, he won't even have clothes on him. The entire Quran Sharif has three mazameen. The first is Tawheed. The second is Risalat. And the third is Akhirat. Tawheed refers to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Risalat means the messengership of all the Anbiya alayhi salam. And Akhirat refers to the hereafter. From these three verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown all three. From the first verse, we can see Tawheed. From the second verse, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. How does Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim show the messengership of Rasulullah of all the Anbiya alayhi salam? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so kind and so compassionate, so when Allah Ta'ala created his makhluk, the demand of his rahmat, the demand of his mercy is that Allah Ta'ala will show a person what is right and what is wrong. He will show them how they should live their life. So based on that, this is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala will send Anbiya alayhi salam who will show mankind what is the right path. And thereafter, Malik Yawm al-Din, this is the third verse which is showing Akhirat. Ulama explained that in Surah Fatiha there are 7 verses. But the 7 verses, the first 3 verses and the last 3 verses, they all, the mansha of it is to take a person to the fourth verse. And what is the fourth verse? Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. That these 3 verses, this verse comes in between, so these verses have come to take a person to this level where his entire condition becomes such where he only worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he only takes help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone in Masail al-Sulukh Matani rahmatullahi alayhi explains over here, he says that this Iyyaka na'budu, that this Adiyat is the last stage that a Salik goes through on his journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is no stage that is higher than Adiyat. That is why in our kalima also we say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. In Surah Subhanallah Asra bi'abdihi. Then it is mentioned when a person reads Surah Fatiha, a person is Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allah Ta'ala replies and says, Hamidani Abdi, that my slave has praised me. When a person reads Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala replies by saying, Asna Ali Abdi. What's the difference between Hamidani and Asna? When a person praises one, then that praise is called Hamd. But as a person continues praising something, now that goes to Sana. But if that's why Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala replies by saying, Asna Ali Abdi. And then when a person says Maliki Yawm al-Din, Allah Ta'ala replies by saying Majjalani Abdi, that my slave has glorified me. When a person praises Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala with the word of Allah Jalal, then that is called Tamjeed. That's why Allah Ta'ala replies by saying Majjalani Abdi. Thereafter, Iyyaka Na'budu wa Iyyaka Nasta'in. Over here, the ayah could have been Na'buduka, we worship you, wa Nasta'inuka, and we ask help from you. But here, Iyakana is coming to show hasad, that we only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we only ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At this point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Haza bayni wa bayna abdi wa li abdi ma sa'il. So, over here, a question is posed in the book, that in every rakat, every day, a person is asking, that, O Allah, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, you guide me to the straight path. But how is it such that despite a person asking so much, yet sometimes a person falters? So, one hadith is mentioned that once one sahabi, he was making the khidmat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So as he was making the khidmat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the time of tahajjud, he placed the water of Nabi alayhi wa sallam, prepared the wudu water of Nabi alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi alayhi wa sallam became very happy. And Nabi alayhi wa sallam asked him, tell me what you want. So Nabi alayhi salam told him, so he replied and said, Oh Nabi of Allah, what I want is murafaqatat fil jannah. I want your companionship in jannah. So Nabi alayhi salam replied by saying that you want this, but no problem, fulfill the condition. Thereafter Nabi alayhi salam told him that now you have, like how I am performing salah in tahajjud now, you will help me. And if you will do this, you will get that. Similarly over here, there are 2 types of hidayat. One is that type of hidayat, somebody asking for direction, I'll tell you, there's the place. But one is the second type, where a person is asking for direction, I hold your hand, and I take you to that place. So the first type of hidayat, when it comes in Arabic, if the word ilah is mentioned, then it's referring to the first type of hidayat. And when there is no ilah mentioned, like how it's mentioned in Surah Fatiha, then it is referring to the second type. So here we are asking Allah, Ya Allah, you take us with our hand and direct us straight into, put us straight into Hidayat. But then, when you look at the Quran, other places of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentioned, what's the condition? وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُ فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. They also come without ilah. So the condition is Mujahada. And Mujahada, where should it be made? The other makes ishara to it in the next verse. Rijalullah and Kitabullah. All are guided to the straight path, the path of those whom you have favored. And who are those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored? The Anbiya alayhi salam, shuhada, and salihin. And not the path of those, O Allah, who earned your anger, neither those who went astray. Thereafter, at the end of Surah Fatiha, to say Ameen is also Sunnah. The next surah is Surah Al-Baqarah. Surah Al-Baqarah starts off with the Huruf Al-Muqatta'at and Islam means something that besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no one knows its meaning. And according to some, besides Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no one else knows its meaning. During the times of the Arab, the language and poetry was at its height. So at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had brought down this Huruf Al-Muqatta'at. That whenever the kuffar they would hear such words, then this would be drawing them to listen. That is why in most places, wherever the Huruf Al-Muqatta'at is mentioned, Allah Ta'ala will mention something of Quran. Thereafter, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. Allah Ta'ala mentioned that this is the Quran, this is the book where there is no doubt. The word raib is mentioned, which means doubt. But now in Arabic, miria also means doubt. Shak also means doubt. Each one is referring to a different level of doubt. So, how to understand what's the difference? If a person is driving, and a person has doubt that now, is it left or right? So if a person thinks 40% left, 60% right, so there's a doubt. So this type of doubt is called miria. Then there's second level of doubt. We have, example, you're driving, you've got an 80% thing in your mind that it's, I want to turn right. And 20% is telling you left. So here also there's a doubt. But it's a lesser degree of a doubt. Then it comes to this level, which is a raid. Now sometimes, say for example, you're driving. And as you're driving, you know every day you go to your house, you go to your shop. You know the way the turn, you have no doubt. But one day it was a stormy weather. And when it was a stormy weather, you had a slight, for 1 second or millisecond, you had a doubt. Is it this turn or is it the next turn? Slight doubt. So this is what raid means. When there's a slight amount of doubt. So in Quran, Allah Ta'ala is negating that doubt also. That in Quran, la raiba fihi, there is no doubt whatsoever. And that is the Quran is a hidayat, hudan lil muttaqin. In another place it mentioned, the Quran is hudan lil nas. But as Hazrat explained, that now if a doctor, he has a capsule, he has a medicine. If a person wants to benefit from it, he has to take it. And who are those that really take from Quran? It is the muttaqin. Whereas Allah Ta'ala mentioned the some qualities of those that don't know who are the muttaqin. So Allah Ta'ala says, أَلَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُوا بِالْغَيْبِ right, those who believe in the unseen. What does the unseen refer to? So it refers to the hadith of Jibreel. أَمَنْتُ بِاللَّهُ وَمَلَائِكَتِي the angels, the kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All these are in the unseen. So this is what it's referring to. So you know, it also mentioned that Allah Ta'ala starts off with iman. Why? Because iman is a foundation. Without iman, whatever action a person does is not null and void. Thereafter, after iman, Allah Ta'ala mentions the king of all amal, and that is salah, wa yuqimuna salah. What is iqamatu salah? When a person, he fulfills all the adab, all the etiquette of namaz, concentration, he's laying the first of jama'at, takbir ula, this is called iqamatu salah. Thereafter, Allah Ta'ala mentions the third quality, and they spend from that which we give. So here, it is not only referring to zakat and monetary, but also if a person has some knowledge, if a person has anything good, then there also a person stole from them. And thereafter Allah Ta'ala says, and those that believe in that which is revealed on you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those that were in from to those before you. And they have formed yaqeen on the akhirah. So over here, in the first ruku, Allah Ta'ala is mentioning three groups of people. So this is the first group of people where Allah Ta'ala is mentioning the atqiyah, the pious. Thereafter, in the next two pages, Allah Ta'ala is mentioning the ashqiyah, these two groups. So the first group are the kuffar. And Allah Ta'ala only mentioned two verses regarding the kuffar. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala brought 13 verses to show the group of the munafiqeen. And the munafiqeen who are like the snakes in the grass. Imam Ghaliban, it was Imam Ja'far Sadiq, rahimahullah, he says that if you want to see any firqa batil, if you want to see the Shias or any other batil firqa, then in this ayah, in this ruku of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned all the usul of all the batil firqa. For example, among them, among the people are those who they say they believe, but they do not believe. In their heart, they have a sickness. So here is referring to like mut'ah, the Shia, they propagate mut'ah. Then they have this one belief of kitman. As I said, the whole ruku is referring to the munafiqeen. Thereafter, Allah Ta'ala addresses all these three groups, and Allah Ta'ala calls them all to His oneness. And Allah Ta'ala says, O people, worship your Rabb. And who is your Rabb? He is the one who created you. And those before you, so that you may worship him. Over here, my Idris Khandani Rahmatullah Ali mentioned, he says, what is the meaning? Allah Ta'ala is saying, O'budu Rabbakum. What is the meaning of ibadat? He says, غَالَتِ مُحَبَّتْ نِحَيَتْ تَعَوِّيمْ كَسَاتْ انتِحَيْتْ تَزَلُّ الْكَلَامْ عِبَادَتِهِ. But what is ibadat? Ibadat is when a person worships Allah with the utmost amount of respect and love. Together with that, a person elevates himself, humbles himself, lowers himself. And thereafter, my Jaisab also mentioned that mutlak muhabbat, mutlak azmat, mutlak tazalli ibadat nahi. That a person just has normal love, normal respect, this is not the essence of ibadat. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala says, mentions his favors, that why you should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has made the earth for you like a bedding, and he has created the sky for you as a canopy. And Allah Ta'ala sent down the rain for you. And thereafter from the rain, thereafter fruits grow, so that they can be rosy for you. Now after I have given you all this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, so now when I have given you so much, do not make any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Partners, one is when you make shirk with Allah Ta'ala. And another way is when your heart, you have anyone else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, Allah Ta'ala mentions next, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ. So in this verse, Allah Ta'ala mentions the dalail of his oneness. Now Allah Ta'ala is bringing proofs of the, to prove the risalat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like as you mentioned, tawheed risalat. So over here, Allah Ta'ala is saying, if you are in doubt with regards to the Quran Sharif, then bring one surah like the Quran Sharif. In the Quran, like every Nabi had his own miracle. And the miracle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the Quran. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala says that you won't be able to bring something in the Quran. And you will never be able to, and prepare yourself for such a fire where it will be lit up with men and soul. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala, like it is a habit in the Quran, that whenever Allah Ta'ala mentions something of Jahannam, Allah Ta'ala will bring something of Jannat as well. So in the next verse, Allah Ta'ala mentions and gives that tidings to those, the people of Iman, that they will have rebels, etc. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala carries on and says that when I bless you with so much, and I bless you with so much, how is it that you still kafir takfuruna, that you still disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You still ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas Allah Ta'ala, you were dead before, then Allah Ta'ala brought you back to life. Again, Allah Ta'ala will give you death, again he will revive you, and then you will return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala mentioned the incident of Adam alayhi salam and the malaika. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has announced that Allah Ta'ala intends to send a vice gerent on earth, and that was Adam alayhi salam. So at that time the angels objected to Allah, that, oh Allah, you intend to send a human, a person who has two things in him, yufsidu fiha wa yafsiku dima. He has shahwat in him and he has ghadab in him. He has desires in him, with this he will commit zina and he will do other wrong things. وَيَسْتِكُ الدِّمَاءِ and he got anger in him, because of which he will kill and he will cause corruption on earth. Whereas, O Allah, وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ, we praise you, we glorify you. We are more worthy to take on the vicegerency and the khilafat on earth than Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. So these two things, one is the quwwat al-shahwiyah and one is the quwwat al-ghadabiyah. If this has to go out of control, then it can cause a lot of harm. But Allah Ta'ala has kept this within a person, because it is through this quwwat al-shahwiyah, this desire a person has within him, through which he can attain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And such love which can even surpass the love of the malaika as well. And through this quwwat al-ghadabiyah, this anger which a person has within him, it is through this that a person will be able to give his life and go out and give the ultimate sacrifice in jihad for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in order to balance this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept the aqal, Allah has kept the mind. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam alayhi salatu wasalam the names of everything. So here we first explain that what was his name. So Allah ta'ala, in order to send Adam alayhi salam on earth, he has taught him the specialities of the things of this world, the effect it has. And thereafter, when these things were presented before the anbiya, before the malaika, they said, La ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana. Thereafter they realized that the person who is worthy to take on the khilafat on earth was Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed Adam alayhi salatu wasalam in Jannah. Thereafter Shaitan had deceived Adam alayhi salam, and thereafter because of that he has come down to earth. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins and mentions all the favors that the entire Surah Baqarah is the highlight of it. Allah Ta'ala is speaking about the Jews, because it is a rule in Arabic that Daf'i Madarrat Awla Min Jalbi Manfa'at, that when you have something which is harm, where there is harm and benefit, so in this reference to removing the harm over the benefit. So for example, if a person messes his clothes, so when you remove the dirt first, or when you put the itar first. So first the person will remove the dirt, and thereafter you clean yourself and put perfume. So similarly, over here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about the evil qualities of the Jews, in order to teach us that do not be like the Jews. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the different favors which Allah ta'ala has given to the Bani Israel. Allah ta'ala has blessed them with worldly and dini favors. Allah ta'ala has blessed them with material prosperity. Allah ta'ala is telling them, you don't remember that Fir'aun, who was a tyrant over you, and Allah ta'ala has saved you from him. And when you are going with Musa alayhi salam, you saw the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before you, where the ocean split up, and Fir'aun and all these people had drowned. And at the time when you were without provision, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed you with manna and salwa. But then after all these favors which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted the Bani Israel, Allah, they retaliated and they returned the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with ingratitude. And they showed greed. And they were, when Allah ta'ala had granted them victory over a certain enemy, and Allah ta'ala told them, when you're returning, now return humbly and ask the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But yet despite this, when they returned very, very proudly. As a result, ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُبُكُمْ, as a result, their hearts have become very, very hard. And Mu'izzin Sahib also explained, he says the root cause of all this was the pride. And the link, like how Shaitan, when he was rejected, when he made a mistake, the root cause was Aba wa Sakbar. He had pride, that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rejected him. Over here also the Bani Israel, their downfall was the root cause was because of pride. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, and Allah ta'ala mentions that how Bani Israel retaliated. That when they knew the truth, when the ulama of the Bani Israel knew the truth, they hid it from the masses, and they believed in some part of the kitab, and they disbelieved in another part of the kitab. Thereafter, these Jews and Christians, they aligned themselves and they set themselves to be linked to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Thereafter, so this Allah Ta'ala brings Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and Allah Ta'ala shows the qualities of Ibrahim alayhi salam. That Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was inclined to Hanifa. That he was a person who was only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was no shirk in his life. So, and Allah Ta'ala mentioned the different qualities of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala started by mentioning that when Allah Ta'ala had tested Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam with many tests, what were the tests? One was he had to separate from his own hometown. He left his own family only for the sake of deen. Thereafter he had a debate with Namrud. Thereafter he was thrown into the fire. Thereafter he had to separate from his own wife and children in an empty land. Thereafter he was thrown into the fire. And Allah Ta'ala tested him with all this. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam passed all this. Another quality which you can see from Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Ta'ala is trying to teach us that when Allah Ta'ala told Ibrahim alayhi salam that you pass all your tests, then now inni ja'iluka lin-nas imama, that now I am going to make you the imam of everyone. Immediately the spontaneous response of Ibrahim alayhi salam was, وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي, oh Allah, what about my children? It is also mentioned that when Ibrahim a.s. was about to pass away, he called his two sons, Ibrahim, Ismail and Ishaq a.s. And he asked them, that what will you worship after me? And they said, we will only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Following the same trend, when Hazrat Yaqub a.s. was about to pass away, he called his children and he asked them, what will you worship after me? And thereafter they said, we will only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam, how they built the Kaaba. And when they built the Kaaba, that time when they saw Ibrahim al-Qawa'ida, and after they had built it, they had gone through the difficulty, they said to Allah, O Allah Rabbana, taqabbal minna. That now, taqabbal comes from Ba'at Tafa'ud, which means that, O Allah, this action of ours is not worthy of being presented before you, but out of your sheer grace and mercy, O Allah, you accept it. So here Allah Ta'ala is teaching us the humility of Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. And thereafter it never stopped there. They knew that when Allah Ta'ala had told us to build the Kaaba Sharif, there must be some worship, there must be something that is linked to it. So they made dua that, O Allah, wa arina manasikana, O Allah, show us that what are the rituals that have to be carried out over here. And then their concern for their progeny was not only till immediate. But the concern for the children and progeny was very far. So they made a dua that all amongst our progeny, send one Rasul, send one messenger, who will read to them your verses, and he will teach them the kitab, and he will teach them the hadith, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, and he will purify them. Now, after Allah Ta'ala spoke about Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Ta'ala is saying to the Yahud and Nasara, وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. Now, this is Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now, who will turn away from the millet of Ibrahim alayhi salam? Only that person who is foolish, only he will turn away. Another quality of Ibrahim alayhi salam, while he was very submissive, when Allah Ta'ala told him, Aslim, that you surrender yourself before Allah. He said, I surrender myself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the Bani Israel, thereafter Allah spoke about Adam alayhi salam. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala spoke about Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala ends off by saying, Tilka ummatun qad khalat. These are the nations who have passed. Laha ma kasabat wa lakum ma kasabtum. They have earned. If they did good, they will get returned. They will be returned with good. If they did evil, they will get the punishment. But remember, wa lakum ma kasabtum. That you, whatever actions you do, you will get a return for that. And wa la tus'aluna amma kanu ya'malun. You will not be questioned regarding what they did. Now, linked to the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam building the Kaaba. So linked to that, Allah Ta'ala brings sayakulu sufaha. That now before the Kaaba has become the Qibla has become the Kaaba Sharif, for 16 to 17 months the Muslims were facing Baitul Muqaddas. Thereafter, it was the desire of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that how if only my Qibla can be like the Qibla of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted this plea of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah ta'ala told him that فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَكْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. That now your Qibla is the Qibla of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and you'll be facing the Kaaba. After mentioning that now the best Nabi, that we have the best Kaaba, that you return away from the Qibla of the past, and now you're following the best Qibla. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala says, like how Allah Ta'ala is speaking to the Ummah, that like how you'll have the best Qibla, kama arsalna fikum. Similarly, you'll have the best Nabi as well. That Nabi who recited to you all the verses, who made the tazkiyah of the Sahaba, and who narrated the Quran and the Hadith. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala says, fazkuruni azkurkum. That you remember, I have bestowed you with so much of favor. Don't be ungrateful like the Bani Israel. I bestowed them with so much that they turned out ungrateful. In return, they turn Oba'u bi-ghadabi min Allah. They return with the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala says, washkuruni wa la takfuruni. Be grateful to me and do not be ungrateful. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala is saying that, O people of Iman, that when Allah Ta'ala mentioned the test which came to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now linked to that test which came to Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala is addressing the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Test will come to you also. When test will come to you, how should you deal with it? So Allah Ta'ala is saying, the test will come to you, seek the help of Allah through two ways. The sabr wa salah. By having patience and through salah. For every other action, namaz, Quran, Sharif, tilawah, there is a reward which is placed for you. But this action of sabr, there is no reward which is placed for you. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that most definitely you are well be tested. بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ. And Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi says that he will most definitely test you with fear. What is fear means over here? With the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you will be tempted. You will be tempted to do something wrong. But now will you have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time or not? Well, Jew, Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi says, is referring to the month of Ramadan. Where you, Allah ta'ala will test us with hunger. وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ. And you will find deficiency in your wealth and your life. Well, deficiency in wealth, Imam Shafi says, rahmatullahi refers to zakat. And well, anfus refers to when a person will go into jihad, and there a person's life will be taken. And what samarat refers to, that sometimes Allah Ta'ala will test you by the passing away of the children. And Allah Ta'ala says that whoever will go through this test, وَبَشْرِ صَبْ give black tidings, that they will have a very, very high rank to those who will be patient. And those that whenever any calamity comes to them, then they say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And the one who will turn himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time of every difficulty. And in one hadith is mentioned, that الصَّبْرُ عِنْدَ الصَّدْمَةِ الْأُولَى. That the sabr is your reaction at the time when the calamity struck you at first. So if a person He never mentioned any, he never complained, he never objected against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the person will come under this of this shirk forbidden. This person will be recorded amongst those that are patients. And those that are recorded among the patients, Allah ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ, that they will have the special mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ, and these are the people of Hidayah.